We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence. How are you this morning?
Joyful and blessed.
How's yes.
That? And thankful.
Yes. Sounds good. Joyful, blessed, and thankful. Me too. If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program is ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all.
All right. Is it time to pray?
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We are a thankful people, a grateful people. We are your people. And we thank you for so many things. Most of all, that you loved us first. That before we were born, you were already loving us. You had good plans for us. You'll never stop loving us. And Lord, even when we're not faithful and when we mess up, you are faithful. So Lord, for all that, we give you thanks. We know you've got something special in store for us, that this life is going to be special for us, that we have purpose in this life. And Lord, so for all that, we give you thanks. We also come to you and we confess that we sin, we trip and fall, but that only brings us to thanksgiving again, because you are faithful and just to forgive. And Lord, we get to confess to you and get back in our race. And it's so wonderful to be loved and forgiven by you and your grace. And Lord, we have petitions for you. We ask that you pour your Spirit out on this land, Lord. So many in this land have already turned to you and are seeking you, and so many need to come to you. And Lord, we don't want anyone to perish. We want to do our part. We want to fulfill our commission. Strengthen us, encourage us, give us a swift kick to get us out there to share your word where it's needed. Lord, just help us to do the thing you commissioned us to do, to take your good news to the world. And Lord, bless this broadcast, that it reaches those that you intend it to reach, that hearts are touched, people are motivated to go do your will, people enjoy doing your will. And Lord, be with each of us gathered here and gathered in so many different places who open your word daily, that you will finish the good work you began in us. You promised to. We're just ready to see some of those changes in ourselves. We begin to look more and more like you, the image and likeness of Christ Jesus. And Lord, help us all to say with all sincerity, thy will be done. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, One Return to Give Thanks.
So I guess it's my time to start.
It's your turn.
Can I share something that happened last week?
I'm ready.
You don't put this in the notebook.
Okay.
I've never been a big hunter. I used to hunt some here and there. My son's the hunter now. Last week, I shot my first turkey. Yeah. Nice. It was in the frozen food section at Walmart, but I got it. You should have sent people diving for cover. I think I'll try to get one for next year, too. I mean, it was so much fun.
I bet that was loud.
I don't know. I lost my hearing in the Marine Corps. I couldn't tell. Okay, this is 2023. For all those listening out there, I have to tell you that was tongue-in-cheek. That was not serious. I don't want it to offend someone. I didn't shoot turkeys in Walmart yet. Okay. So we've had this day called Thanksgiving. I'm sure you've had a lot of people in here saying, like, it should be more than a day. It should be the condition of our lives. And I imagine there's been a lot of Bible studies talking about that. And the challenge is, you know, can we keep being thankful day to day when all of a sudden we get up and it's just another day? It's like, it should never be just another day. It's a day that we should always be thankful for. We should always rejoice in the day that the Lord made, and we should do all this. But it's a challenge. We're human. We get in ruts. We go back to old habits. We do those things. But we want to be thankful. And along the way, and Tina reminded me when I, or told me when gave the title about One Return to Give Thanks, that you'd heard this three times over the last couple weeks. I've preached it three or four times over the past couple weeks, and Psalm 100 and these verses that are going to come from Luke 17 are really good Thanksgiving scriptures, motivators, topics, whatever. But I want to spend a little time in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And I didn't bring my Bible with the big print, so it's going to take me a little while to get going here. All right, here we go. Expect to hear God's word. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Very short scripture, but I think there's a whole bunch in there. Sometimes preached it, like I said, preached it a few times, sometimes with a topic, sometimes with a theme. I'm just going to do the verse by verse this morning because I think there's a whole bunch to drill down into there. And so I'll start with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Okay, so what do we see? Jesus out walking again. He did a lot of walking other than his little ride into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey. You know, he basically walked everywhere he went. But we also see more. He's not only in Judea, he's not only in Israel, he's in Samaria. He preaches to everyone. He's reaching out to everyone. The kingdom of God is for everyone, and he's trying to open that kingdom to humankind. He's trying to save humankind, and that includes Samaria, a country so despised by the Jewish people. Now, if we jump over to John 4 for a minute, we'll note that Jesus purposely went through Samaria. Some of the scriptures say he had to go through Samaria. It's not like there was, you know, the big detour, you got to turn here. He had purpose in Samaria. He had to go to a well at Sychar and meet this woman. Okay, and this woman that he met was a Samaritan woman, and she said, "Why are you, a Jew talking to me, much less a rabbi? We shouldn't even be talking, much less me trying to get you water. Why would you even..." And we get that whole conversation going there, and she was a woman who was basically living in sin, but she'd kind of been comfortable with her sin. It's like, okay, I know when to go to the well, so no one bothers me. I know how to avoid the people who want to point fingers at me. I know how to do it. She'd grown comfortable with her sin, but Jesus wouldn't let her off the hook. He didn't come to condemn her. He came to liberate her. Right. He asked for water, but he delivered living water, the bread of life. He delivered good news to her. So the point I'm making here is not I'm trying to get out of Luke into to John, which just be a short detour here. Jesus liked to minister in Samaria as much as anywhere else, and I think that ruffled the feathers of the self-righteous. Mm-hmm. Why do the Samaritans get all the good parts in these stories? And, you know, in the Good Samaritan, we see the same thing. It was a Samaritan who didn't walk on the other side of the road or didn't, you know, look away, didn't say, "I don't see that problem." You know, it was a Samaritan that helped. And at the end of it, you know, the teacher of the law, the one that was supposed to be real smart and everything, and Jesus said, "Well, who was the neighbor?" And he wouldn't even say the Samaritan. He said, "Well, the one who showed mercy." He said, "I'm not going to say the word Samaritan. You know, I want to spit when I say Samaritan." We just don't like those people at all. So at the end of the Good Samaritan, even there, you know, the Jewish people, Jesus uses a Samaritan as a good example. The self-righteous, the religious, ritualistic people said, "This is ruffling my feathers." I think Jesus liked to use Samaritans to ruffle people's feathers. In this case, you know, it's an account. It's not a parable. But it's like, okay, I'm going to use the person you really don't like. First, he's a Samaritan. Second, he's a leper. I call him Mr. Double Despised. Because it's like, we don't like you for two reasons. But Jesus uses him as an example in this. Verses 12 and 13. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So what do we see here? Well, we see 10 men with leprosy. That's the straightforward part. But where are they? They are outside the village. Lepers are outcasts. They're different. They look terrible. They are far from mainstreaming in society. They're just out there, and they know it. They know they're not going to be allowed in. They don't belong in. They've kind of accepted their roles. They don't like it. But they know they have to stay at a distance from Jesus. They're outside the town, and they're not approaching Jesus. So they remained at a distance, and they called out to Jesus in a loud voice. They wanted to get his attention. They didn't approach him. That would be socially unacceptable. You know, Jesus was a Jew, probably thought he was a rabbi. They might have even had suspicion he was the Messiah. They're lepers. They can't approach him. I mean, the law wouldn't allow that. So they're shouting from a distance. We should note they do call him Master. So this is the same word that the disciples used to talk to Jesus. They call him Teacher, Master. Okay, so do they know he's the Messiah? Do they know he's the Christ? Are they just being respectful? We don't know. But maybe they got a little insight that maybe this guy's got something going on here, and we'd like to find out. And they asked for pity. They asked for mercy. They wanted to be healed, I'm sure, but I think they would take whatever they could get. You know, we're here at the bottom of society. Okay, help us in some way. Show us some compassion. You know, even the people in our families that we had to leave, if they come to visit us, they can't even come close. You know, or they'll be considered unclean too. We're here at the bottom. Help us. Have pity on us. Have mercy, compassion on us. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. So what do we see here? The big thing I think we should see right off is obedience. He told 10 of them to go show yourselves, and they went. Told 10 went. It's like, that's obedience. I think back to, you remember the man at the pool in Bethsaida, he's there, he's been there for years and years, and the waters, when it ruffles, people are supposed to get down there and get in. First one gets in, gets healed, is the deal. And so Jesus comes to see him, says, "You want to be healed?" And he doesn't say yes. You think he's hanging out at the pool. He says, "Well, I never get to the pool. People get in front of me. People trample over me." His life's still a mess. He's still a paralytic, but his excuses are in order. He knows what to tell people. He's like, "Yeah, okay." Like, that's not what Jesus asked. "You want to be healed?" And so, you know, we know what happens. Jesus said, "You don't need to lay on that mat anymore. Get up and walk." And, of course, it was the Sabbath, so that ruffled some feathers too. But, you know, Jesus kind of liked ruffling feathers.
Yes,
he has a lot of personality traits that I want to emulate. what we see, not here with the man at Bethsaida who had excuses, but with the ten, they all were obedient. Jesus said, "Do this." They did that. Go, and they went. And so I think that's kind of a good mark for all 10, that they were all obedient. They were headed to show themselves to the priests, and as they walked, they were cleansed. On to verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. All were obedient. They were on their way to see the priest, but one was overwhelmed with thanksgiving. One, when he realized what happens, "Yeah, thank you. Thank you, God." And I'm just not going to shout it to the universe. I'm going to go back and talk to this man who made this happen. He was overwhelmed by thanksgiving. He was compelled by the spirit that lived inside of him, that sought out God, that called out to God, to go back and thank God. And the man who delivered God's healing, which he probably suspected, you know, this could be the Christ, the Son of the living God. But he had to go back. All were obedient, one was thankful. All were obedient, but one was thankful. He did not become disobedient in his thanksgiving. He was still obedient. Yes, Jesus told him, "Go show yourself to the priest." But here he was in front of Jesus praising God in a loud voice. He might have gone back to see the priest later, or as we read on, find out he probably really didn't need to once the rest of the story unfolds. But he was obedient. All were obedient. But he was so thankful he had to come back and fall at the feet of Jesus. And we were told in a loud voice, which means he was not timid. He went, "I don't want anybody to hear me, but thank you." Yeah. It wasn't, "Can you come over here and we'll thank you." No, he was in a loud voice. It was like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God." And he wasn't concerned what others thought. I mean, at this point in his life, he had been an outcast, and suddenly he wasn't. He was compelled to praise God. So verse 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus. It would have been socially unacceptable for him to approach Jesus so closely before he was cleansed. So he had an awareness. He'd been made right. He'd been made whole. He'd been cleaned. And so he, now he came to Jesus. I'm not holding back now. I'm going to fall at his feet. I'm going to give him thanks. And like I said, I think the spirit that God placed inside all of us was compelling him to go give thanks to the one that healed him, and he did. And he wasn't timid about it. And he probably had an inkling that he was standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and mm-hmm. his place was face down on the ground, okay, and just giving thanks. He would fall at the feet of the one who saved him from such a horrible illness and the one who'd go on to bring salvation to the world. And for that, he would give thanks. He knew the first part, he'd been healed. Mm-hmm. Salvation of the world was yet to come, but I think he knew he was dealing with. And oh, by the way, he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. Think about that. Mr. Double Despised, because he was a leper, because he was a Samaritan, was the only one that returned to thank Jesus. Mr. Double Despised returned to thank Jesus. And I think that had to get under the skin of the self-righteous people. It's like, okay, yeah, we probably ought to be doing the same, but here the Samaritan's doing it. It's like, yeah, can I just look away and not remember this part? I mean, there's people that make us uncomfortable sometimes because we know they're doing the right thing and we should have done that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I got a big old plank in my eye. Am I missing something? Am I looking like a Pharisee? Look in the mirror, see if I got a phylactery on my forehead or something. But I think it made them uncomfortable because this Samaritan was doing exactly what everyone who had been healed or forgiven or many different things should have done. He fell down and gave thanks to God. Verse 17, Jesus has healed. He's done that. Now he's going to teach. But he does it in a very provocative manner. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Jesus really probably wasn't asking the leper where they were. It's not like, okay, where'd your buddies go? No, I think he's asking everyone gathered there, and he's asking us, where's everybody else that should be giving thanks? All 10 were obedient. We give him credit for that. All 10 were obedient. But one was compelled by the thanksgiving that was dwelling inside of him, overwhelming him, to return to Jesus. That one, I think, realized what later on Paul would call the surpassing glory of Christ over the law. Not that the law was ever bad. It was good. It's still good. The law says a lot of good things. I mean, no other gods beside me. That's a good starting point. Don't kill anybody. Yeah, you know, don't go, you know, shacking up with some other women while you're already married. A whole bunch of good stuff in there. Don't steal. Yeah, don't kill. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't say don't shoot frozen turkeys in Walmart. Okay, so that was, yeah, I got to get out of jail free on that one. But there's a whole bunch of good stuff in the law. But Paul would say the glory of Christ has gone so far beyond the law. Mm-hmm. And I think this one who returned saw that I was supposed to go see the priest. But this guy right here, he's just so far beyond anything I've seen. Elsewhere in the scripture said he spoke with authority, not like the Pharisees and teachers did. They were reading from, okay, I got all the words in the right order, and I said, okay, but this guy, it's like he wrote them himself, which he did. He and his dad, I think, sat down and said, let's put these 10 on tablets, and the rest will just tell Moses. It's like, yeah, okay, he knew the law. He gave the law. He was the law, and he surpassed the law. And I think this one Samaritan that was a leper and was now cleansed, I think he saw that. He said, what else can I do? This guy is so far beyond any one I've ever seen. He's got to be the Christ. He's got to be the anointed one. He's got to be the Son of God. He's got to be God himself. Okay, how could I do anything but fall down before him and give him thanks? Not there's anything wrong with the law. Okay, it's good, continues to be good. But we know now, we've had Paul's writings, the Samaritan didn't. Jesus surpasses the law. He's far beyond it. I've given before the example of headlights. In that, you know, if you're driving from Burns Flat to Cordell on 152 at 11 o'clock at night, right, it could be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. Now, it's dark. And you're going, and some guy's got his high beams on, and he's not turning them off. And it's like, what is this guy doing? I can't even see in front of me. Man, those are so bright. But if you go at 11 o'clock in the day, and the guy's got his high beams on, you don't even notice. Because the sun is so bright, you don't even know the guy's got his lights on. That's my comparison between the law and Christ Jesus. He's just so far beyond, you hardly even notice. And I think the Samaritan knew that he was dealing probably with the Son of God, with the Christ, with the anointed one, the very one who came and was promised. So, all right. We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? not asking the leper, he's asking us. All 10 were obedient. One was compelled by thanksgiving to return. One realized the surpassing glory of Christ. You know, Peter would write that Paul's sometimes hard to understand. He didn't write, Paul got it wrong. He just said, sometimes he's hard to understand. Well, Paul was a theologian amongst fishermen, talking about things that sometimes went a little bit farther than they could cast their nets. And it's good we had one guy like Paul in here to give us some things that we get books like Romans that are sometimes called the Gospel According to Paul. It kind of ties everything together. And so it's good. But I think this one Samaritan says, it's obvious. This is the guy. This is the Christ. And he surpasses. And I think we see that here. And I think it probably embarrassed those who should have known.
Mm-hmm.
They probably should have known. Maybe they wanted to know. But they're looking at their buddies. Are you going to go with this? Are you going to go with this? And they were hesitant. This one guy was healed. He said, no doubt for me. And I'm not going to be timid about it. All right. Fell at his feet. Gave him thanks. Fell down on the ground. You know, prostrate on the ground. Just face down. Just giving thanks. And I think, yeah, back in Burns Flat on Sunday morning, people grumble if I have them stand for four songs in a row. But here the guy just face down on the ground. No complaints. Okay, this is where I belong. This is my Lord. Okay, I need to show him the reverence, the awe that he deserves. I'm thinking maybe every once in a while we ought to throw our hands up in there and shout a hallelujah and amen. And, of course, in the Presbyterian tradition, it takes a lot to get people not to sit on their hands. But sometimes we come alive with an amen and a hallelujah. Every once in a while we ought to have eyes to see. This is something to get excited about. We should be excited about what he's done for us. The leper who had been cleansed, he knew what to do, though. He fell down before the Lord. Praise God. Thank Jesus. We are saved from a disease worse than what the leper had. We are saved from sin and death. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that we're going to die an ugly death from if, you know, we're not cured. But we were cured in the blood of Jesus. We have been cured. It's not like, I hope Jesus will forgive me. He has forgiven us. And that should evoke a hallelujah or two, or maybe we should fall down on our face every once in a while and just say, thank you, Jesus. We should be as thankful as this one who returned. Verse 18, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? One out of ten who were healed from a horrible disease, a life of exclusion, returned to give thanks. Yeah, the others had an excuse. They were doing what they were told. Following the rules, going to see the priest. Jesus told me to do that. I'm doing what they were obedient, okay? For that, we have to give them credit. They were obedient, but one was overwhelmed by thanksgiving. One got it. One realized what was happening. Nothing wrong with obedience. In fact, there's a whole bunch of blessings in obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience being conformed to the world, different thing, but obedience to God comes with blessings. There's nothing wrong with obedience, but it doesn't preclude us. It doesn't stop us from thanksgiving. You can be thankful and obedient at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, whether this one guy eventually went to see the priest and showed himself or not, I don't know. I don't think he had to, once we see the end of the story and what Jesus says at the end. But nothing in obedience stops us from being thankful. I think that's the message to us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Pharisees when they would fast because they were obedient, would go around with long faces. Look at me, I'm fasting, I'm following the rules. I'm the Eeyore of 2,000 years ago. Could be having fun, but I'm doing this because God told me I got it. We should be able to be thankful and obedient at the same time. You know, Jesus said, you need to follow God's commands and not be a burden. In the Presbyterian tradition, we say that, you know, the purpose of life is to bring glory to God and enjoy him while we do it. Why do we want him to save us a room in heaven if we don't enjoy the relationship with him now? Mm-hmm. It's not like, okay, suddenly we're not going to crave the things of the world because, you know, we had a change in geography. No, we either love Jesus or we don't. We're either seeking him or we're not. Well, we have trials. We have struggles. We get that. But why would we want to spend eternity with God if we're not giving him thanks now, if we're not excited about the relationship now? And so one returned. 10 didn't, or 9 didn't. Those other 9 kind of characterize the world, including the Christian world sometimes, that we just go to the next thing. We do whatever's next. Okay, solve that problem. Let me go to the next problem. Let me go to the next problem. Somewhere along the way, there ought to be some thanksgiving because we live to fight another problem. But sometimes we think our life's all about problem solving. That's the purpose of life, is solving problems. No, it's not. We're going to have problems to solve. We're going to have trouble in the world. We're going to have all those things. But we are supposed to be bringing glory to God's name, and we're supposed to enjoy it while we do it. God set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
That even when in our suffering, even when in our trials, even in all that, we should be enjoying this relationship with God. And I think the one knew it. The nine were kind of just going along with, you know, business as usual. Got to go see the priest. You know, looks like I got healed. Better make the offering, the sacrifice I'm supposed to. And, you know, check that off and move on to whatever. Probably got to pay taxes now or something now that get to live in town. You know, there's all kinds of things that our minds go on to. And we should just say, okay, why don't I live in a continual state of thanksgiving? Because I've just been healed from this vile disease. Why don't we live in a continual state of thanksgiving? Because we're saved from sin and death. Mm. That's like a cool beans deal right there. You know, we don't have to sweat. Am I going to hell? No, I'm not. That's been taken. I didn't do anything. I can't undo it. Jesus did it. Maybe I should try to be a little thankful about that. God sees the heart, and hopefully he sees thanksgiving in all our hearts. But okay, what keeps us from doing that? How about our human nature and our concern, what others would think? I can't be looking too thankful. What would people say? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I might not get invited to next year's party I didn't want to go to anyway. You know, it's like, what's holding us back? And I think we shouldn't be held back. And I think the more Christians rejoice and rejoice loudly and rejoice publicly, the more other Christians will say, okay, I can do it too. Mm-hmm. We could be encouragers to them. But we are so timid, so afraid of what the world would think. And we should say, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care what God thinks. And I think he should see that I'm thankful. That I am thankful. When the world, even the Christian world, goes about business as usual, even though they're saying we're playing by the rules, we're doing what God told us, we're playing by the rules, you know, at least the ones they think are important. Not everyone plays by all the rules. We all have our own set. We need to be the one that returns to Jesus to give thanks. We need to be the one. That should be our goal. Be the one who comes back to Jesus proclaiming in a loud voice, thank you, God. Hallelujah. Falling down at the feet of Jesus saying, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, it's just, if the only word you can get out of your mouth is thank you, that's okay. I mean, that's, we don't have to be eloquent. We just, our heart just has to say, thank you, Lord. And we're told that should be a continual condition. Give thanks always, all circumstances. That's supposed to do that all the time. Okay, this one Samaritan gives us a real good example of how to start. We don't see him on day two. We don't know. But I'm thinking this excitement, this Thanksgiving, probably lasted a while. Mm-hmm. He had lived a while as an outcast and not to be an outcast anymore. And he's in the mainstream now. And I think he's given thanks. And if people don't like that, I think he doesn't care. Right. He's been healed. Okay, finally, verse 19. And he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Process, go show yourself the priest. Okay, nine, we're going to go do that. Ten, we're going to do it. One came back to give thanks. Okay. But this one pitiful man knew what Almighty God had done for him. And he had to give thanks. God's healing was manifest in the faith of the Samaritan. All were healed, but Jesus points out it was your faith that got you there. Now, when I stand before Jesus, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd like to hear those words. But between now and then, I'd kind of like to hear your faith made you whole. Your faith made you complete. What the words I'm really looking for is Jesus saying, I see your faith. Mm-hmm. I see your faith in your life. I can see your faith. Not me going here, I wonder if Jesus knows I'm faithful or if I need to live. I don't want to be mumbling. I want to just hear Jesus say, I can see your faith. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we want. I think we hunger for that some, seeking God. And I think we're too timid sometimes to get to that point where Jesus is ready to say, I see your faith. He said, earlier in this chapter is where you see if you had the faith of a mustard seed, tell that tree to pluck itself up, go be planted in the sea, and it'll do it. That little bit of faith. I think that's what he's looking for. And so I would love to hear words like this. Tom, I can see your faith. I can see your faith. It's like, yes, finally. Finally, I got something there that is just a super affirmation. Yeah, I expect to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus will tell me the good things I did. And I'll be going, I wonder if he saw that. Of course he saw that and the other stuff. But he's already taken care of our sin. Mm-hmm. I think he will have a discussion with us about how we responded with our lives after we were saved. What did we do? But I don't have to worry about my sin condemning me anymore. I don't have to worry about death. You know, this body's going to wear out. In fact, parts are wearing out sooner than others. Mm-hmm. So some say, this one's worn out. Can you get a new one? I say, well, they don't replace those yet. It's like, you know, I can get elbows and knees and arms, but you can't get like a whole, you know, left side package that hurts today. And so yeah, it's all going to wear out, but we will live. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, you're not going to die. And even though your body's going to die, you're going to live. The spirit that God made you to be will live. And at the end of that, you remember what he asked Martha? He said, do you believe this? every once in a while we need to look in the mirror and say, do I believe this? And if we do, we should say, thank you, Lord. I believe. So what should I say? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I should always be saying thank you, but I'm hoping somewhere along the way, he says, I see your faith. I can see your faith. And I think that's the message here. Your faith has made you whole. Well, all 10 were healed. They were all cleansed. But Jesus made a point, says, I can see your faith. So what happened with the guy who was healed on day 2, we don't know. But I think with all the thanksgiving he had there, I think that high lasted for a while, longer than a camper's high. I think he was going out and about ministering, and don't get the rest of that story, but guess what? We get to be that story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's our part. We get to go out and be that story and say, thank you, God, today, and not just on the Thursday where you have turkey and whatever else in quantities more than we should have every day. Let's see. How do I wrap up? Let us be the one not afraid to praise God, and let us not be shy about it. Okay? We want to be the one that Jesus says, I can see your faith. Let's be the one who sing what the Lord has done in our lives, comes to him praise with praise and thanksgiving. We want to be the one. Mm-hmm. 10 were cleansed. 10 were healed. 10 had this miracle in their lives, but one came to return to give thanks. So let's be the one. Are we at a stopping point?
Are you at a stopping point?
I am. I'm going to change to another scripture for the second half.
Okay.